Okay, we are picking up on Mem Gimel Amud Beis. We are six lines from the bottom. We're in the words Lema Kitanai. So again, just to remember, remind ourselves, we had yesterday on the daf, we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, whether or not when it comes to muksa, if you move something min atzad, tiltu min atzad, moving something either indirectly or not in its normal fashion, is that considered moving with regards to the isser of moving muksa on Shabbos? Right? According to Shmuel, it is not considered moving, and according to Rav, it is considered moving. That is what the Gemara said. Now, the Gemara now is asking Lema Ketanai. Usually, most majority of the time, I can't tell you percentages, but a large majority of the times when the Gemara uses a lashon of Lema Ketanai, that meaning, should we suggest it's really machlokas Tanaim about this dispute, is usually a kasha. Because if we know that Tanaim already argued about this, why are you presenting it as a machlokas Rav and Shmuel who live generations later? Just tell us the machlokas Tanaim, and you don't have to tell us the machlokas Amoraim. So usually the Gemara will reject almost 90% of, I can't give percentage, but a large percent of the time, the Gemara is going to reject the Lema Ketanai. So the Gemara now says, "Ein matzilin es ames mnei adeleka." So there's a din over here that if a person has a corpse, a dead body, on Shabbos, you're not allowed to save it by moving it on Shabbos from a fire. So the Gemara now says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, shamatish matzilin sames mnei adeleka. Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says that I heard that you are allowed to move a dead body from a fire on Shabbos. So the Gemara now asks, analyzing this brisa, the Gemara asks, "Hey Chidami, what is the case of the brisa? Ida ika kikaro tinok. If there is a loaf of bread or a baby, we already saw before. My tama tanakama. What would be the reason tanakama said that it's usher to remove a dead body? We said before in the mission that that's totally fine. That's going to be okay. The brisa rather. So the Gemara now says, Ida leika my tama Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish. And if there is no loaf of bread, so then what would be the reason of Yehuda ben Lakish who says that it's mutter to move a dead body? What would be the reason to say that it's okay? So the Gemara says, El alav tiltum atzad pligi. So it must be that they're dealing with the machlokas whether or not one is allowed to move the dead body indirectly or not in a general fashion. Demar savar tiltum atzad shmei tiltul. So one holds, the Tanakama is holding that moving indirectly is okay, is considered moving, and therefore it's usher to move the dead body. Umar Savar Losh Me Tiltil, and then Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish says that it's not considered moving, and therefore it'd be mutter to move it on Shabbos, like the Machlokas Rav and Shmuel, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish would be like Shmuel, and Tanakama would be like Rav. So the more answers, no. Lo, the Kule Alma Tiltum and Tach Me Tiltil. No, everyone agrees that moving indirectly is considered moving with regards to Mukta, and it'd be usher to move it even indirectly. Behind the time of Rabbi Yehuda ben Lakish, and this is the reasoning of Yehuda ben Lakish, Dimitoch Shadam Bala Meso, that since a person is likely very, very stressed out and very in a very crazy state, that he's thinking about losing the dead body of his relative into a fire, so therefore we're going to be makel in this situation to the next number. We're afraid that if you don't permit him to move it when he's in danger of it being burned, you may come to extinguish the fire, which is a malacha d'oraisa. So therefore the Rabbanan had a special kula over here to allow you to have to move it, even though this is not something, it is normally moksa, but we're afraid of a much more chamor iser of kibwe, of putting out the fire, which is iser d'oraisa. So we allow you to move the body. That should be pointed out that not other there are not other kulas. The Mishnayos are going to discuss this. We're going to see what things you're allowed to take out only suda enough for to have enough suda for the rest of Shabbos. You're not allowed to take out other things out of a house on fire. Assuming again that this would be obvious, assuming that there would be no sakana for the things that would burn down. So now the Gemara has a final halacha about this. Amar Rav Yehuda ben Shila, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'Rav Yehuda ben Lakish b'meis. The halacha follows Rav Yehuda ben Lakish regarding a dead body. That is, that it would be permitted to move a dead body away from a fire. And based on this, there are the Rishonim have pointed out this. I think that's how he passed on Halacha Lamaisa also, that it's permitted to move a dead body even directly when there's no other way to move it from the fire. So that is important to point out. And just one more halacha, when it comes to the bigger issue over here of Tiltum and Atzad with regards to Mukta, so most Rishonim passed in like Rav, that it's usually usur. However, many Rishonim are going to make a chiluk when a person, what is your motive? If your primary objective is to move the mukta item, but you're going to use an indirect way of doing it, then it would not necessarily, then it would be usur. However, if your primary action is to move a non-mukta item, then it would be okay according to a lot of the Rishonim. And this is how a lot of Rishonim paskin. Just one more ha'ara. There's important to note that this is all tiltum and atzad, moving something directly, moving something not in normal fashion. There's another concept of kala'achar yad, or tiltum begufo, and doing it in a enough fashion that's mamish, outright, like, never, you would never, and a person would never do this. Like, kicking something that you're not allowed to move up. Let's say something mukta machmas chesron kiss, a laptop that you never move. So therefore, you're not even allowed to move it, tzorach gufo, tzorach makomo, and it's stuck on your bed. So how do you get it off? You're not allowed to move it even if you need to sleep there. So, assuming you're not afraid it's going to break, like jumping up and kicking it off the bed, that's kila achar yad. That is the Mishnah Berurah, at least. It might be the Chazon Ish's Machmir, but the Mishnah Berurah, seemingly in Siman Shin Ches, is makel on that shayla when it comes to being doing something kila achar yad. So just point that out. Kila achar yad is even a further step removed, which is not even a machlokas, according to Mishnah Berurah, at least. Would not even be a machlokas Rav and Shmuel. It'd be totally mutter according to everyone. That's just an important hara to point that out when a person's stuck and needs to move a muktzah item. Now, continuing to the final statement of the Mishnah, of that Mishnah we're analyzing, we say, when it comes to the oil over here, you're not allowed to benefit from the oil on Shabbos because it's not considered prepared, because it's not prepared for Shabbos use, because it's something that is muktzah. So the Warna says, Tanu Rabbanan, we say in a brisa, Mosar Hashem and Shabbos Nevesh Gara Asr. The leftover oil in a lamp or a bowl is going to be Asr even after the flame goes out. Why? Because it was mixed originally. Rabbi Shimon says mutter. Rabbi Shimon says that it is mutter. He disagrees with that. Like we saw before, there's a big machlokas, Rabbi Huda and Rabbi Shimon with regards to mukta, right? So there's a concept called migo diskatzai lebinish mashos iskatzai lechol ayoma, that when something is mukta binish mashos, meaning all of, from the time of shkia till tzeis, it was being used for a mukta thing, it was used for something that was usher on Shabbos, like lighting a fire, then it's going to be muktzah the entire Shabbos, and even if the reason no longer applies, Rabbi Huda says it's usher. Rabbi Shimon, however, he does not accept this idea of migo diskatzai lebein hashmashos, and therefore he says that this case would, in fact, be mutter. Okay, continuing to the next Mishnah now. Metalkalin ner chadash aval lo yashan. A person is allowed to move a new lamp, but not an old one. Why can't you move a new lamp? Because you can't move an old lamp on Shabbos because an old lamp is considered, as she says, mutzo machmos mios. It's very disgusting, right? Why? Because they used to use them from clay cheres, which is like an earthenware type of lamp. And this was after you use it more than a few times, more than once, really, it becomes very grimy, very disgusting, and therefore it doesn't have a functional purpose on Shabbos. And therefore, the lamp itself is considered going to be considered muktzah. However, Rabbi Shimon Omer Kloneros Metalplan Chutz Menaner Haner Adolik B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says that all lamps are allowed to be moved except for a lamp that is actually burning currently right now. And we're going to see the reasoning in a moment of the Braisa. The Rashi is going to give us the reasoning. But Rabbi Shimon says unless the lamp is burning, it's going to be mutter to move the lamp. So the Gemara now says Tanur Rabbanan Braisa with a few more shitas. Very similar, the same topic as the Mishnah, the Raisa said the following. Someone is allowed to move a new lamp, but not an old one. Rabbi Yehuda, that's like Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah. Good. Now we have Rabbi Meir Omer, so this is a sheet that we didn't see in the Mishnah. Rabbi Meir says, Kol aner is metaltlin, all lamps are allowed to be moved, chutz min aner shedliko bo b'Shabbos, except for a lamp in which a flame had been lit for Shabbos. And then you have to also you assume that it was burning during B'nish Mas, Rashi says, and this is considered mutzah machmas iser. So Rabbi Meir agrees with the category of mukta machmas iser, but he rejects the concept of mukta machmas mius. That's what we see from Rabbi Meir. Therefore, Rabbi Meir is going to tell us that if it is a used lamp, it's not considered mukta because he doesn't know the mukta machmas ius. So it doesn't matter if it's disgusting. However, if it's a lamp that was burning at the beginning of Shabbos, then it's considered mukta machmas iser. Then it's considered the fact that it's considered that it was connected to the prohibition that it was literally lit during Shabbos. Then it's going to be mukta the entire Shabbos. This is where Rashi points out Peshitas Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara says. So that was Shitas Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Shimon Omer Chutz Min Aner Adolik B'Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon says that all lamps on Shabbos are allowed to be lit except. All lamps are allowed to be lit, yeah, exactly, except for a lamp that is burning currently. However, kavsa mutal talta, once it has gone out, it's going to be permitted. So Rashi says the reasoning of Rabbi Meir is that someone is going to come accidentally to extinguish the flame. That's what Rashi says. It's interesting because the Gemara, we're going to see this Gemara in Mem Vavam and Amabez, the Gemara is going to say that as the Havamina, but the Gemara is going to reject this and come out that its reason is because of Basel Stav or Aser. But either way, the Gemara does entertain that this might be the reason for Meir. It's very interesting that it referred to Shimon. Rashi goes with that, so we'll just go with that for now. So Rashi says the reason is that we're afraid, a side reason why it's not nothing to do with Muktzah, says Rabbi Shimon. We're afraid you're going to come to extinguish it. So, however, once it's already extinguished on Shabbos, then there would be no problem of muktzah. So therefore, you allow to move it according to Rabbi Shimon. Aval kosakar ve'ashishis, but with respect to a cup, a bowl, or some sort of lantern that were filled with oil and used as lamps on Shabbos, lo yizem m'komam, one is not allowed to move them from their place. And the Gemara is going to analyze which sheet that is. Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, Omer Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lezer. Some of the Gersa, depending, okay, whatever, the son of Rabbi Shimon, he held Mistapik min aner hakaven. One can take the oil directly from the lamp that's going out, min Hashem and Metaptif, avilu b'shash aner dulik. Or oil that's dripping, even when the lamp is currently burning, he's assuming, he holds, that once the flame is already on the way down, we're not considered a problem of kiboy, of removing the flame, and it would not be an issue. The Gemara now analyzes the last sheet over here. So when it comes to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, Rabbi Rabbaye, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Sarvala, Kavua, Bechada, Palegla, Bechada. So he holds like Rabbi Shimon with one regard, but he disagrees with him on another regard. What does he hold like him? Sarvala, Kavua, Bechada, Delesa, Mukta. So he agrees with his father in one point that he does not accept, again, whenever he says Delesa, Mukta, means the broad application of Mukta, Upalag al Bakhada, and he differs with him on the other point, Dilavu Savar Kava in Lo Kavalo, that his father of Shimon holds that after the flame went out on Shabbos, then we're gonna hold that it is going to be Mutter. However, once the flame is still lit, it's going to be Asur. V'iyu Savar Avagav Dilo Kava, he holds that even if the flame has not yet gone out, it is going to be permitted. So that's what we saw before. Rabbi Shimon says that once it's left over, it's going to be okay. But he says that there is no concept of migo diskatzai bebinish masus kadakul yoma. He therefore says it's going to be mutter because he disagrees with that principle completely, and therefore he thinks that this is case is even mutter even when the nair is lit, as provided that you don't have a pshash that it's going to be an issue of kiboy, which he says if it's already on the way out, you wouldn't have that either. Okay, so now the Gemara continues to mention the next part of the Braisa. Says the Gemara, Aval kosukar v'ashe lo yizem imkomam. So the Braisa mentioned there, we're going to see who is the Shita. The Braisa mentioned at the end of all three of the, the end of the three Amoran before, the Shita Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, and the Gemara is analyzing now. So that we said that when it comes to a cup, a bowl, or some sort of lantern, you're not allowed to move them from their place even after they're extinguished. And the Gemara says, my shnahani, that where first the Gemara assumes that this was Shita Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara is saying, what's the difference between these ordinary lamps of Shimon permits them and this lamps which are usher? So says the Gemara, Amar Ula Seifa Asan Rabbi Huda. No, you thought that this part of the Mishnah was the Hemshech of Rabbi Shimon because it followed his Shita. However, it's not. This was going to the view of Rabbi Huda, who said before that it's usher to move any used lamp. So the Gemara says that if this was Shita Rabbi Huda, Maskiflar Marzutra, Iachi Mai Aval, that doesn't fit the Lashon of the Braisa. Rashi points out, when it says the Lashon of Aval, Aval, it sounds like Aval means that these are going to be problematic, but the other ones are not. However, if you want to submit this as Shita Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Huda holds that it's usher to move every lamp, because it's considered Mukta. So therefore, this can't be Shita Rabbi Huda, it can't be, so Elam Arvitras, or Marzutra rejects this, and he says, the Olam of Shiva, no. That is following Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and the Hemshech of the Braisa was following Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and what is the Braisa telling us? V'chi kashari Rabbi Shimon, b'ner zuta dadai tala. When does Rabbi Shimon say that it's not a problem of mukta? If we're talking about a small lamp, which one knows that from the outside it's going to burn out, and therefore you expect to use it in the Hemshech of Shabbos for other purposes, then you're allowed to move it, because it's not something you considered mukta as designated for an asar purpose. However, these bigger oiled ones that we were talking about, the three things that we said, right? When it came to the coast, the car, and the shishis, right? The cup, the bowl, and the lantern, they're much bigger, and you think that they might last the whole Shabbos. You never think that you're going to use them on Shabbos, and therefore, Rabbi Shimon would even agree that they are mukta, because he doesn't assume that he's going to use them at all on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Akashla v'atanya, Musar Shemesh v'nevrakara asur. The Braisa says, though, it says that the leftover oil or lamp or a bowl is asur to use even after the flame goes out. Rabbi Shimon matir, but Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter. So we see that Rabbi Shimon permits the oil in the bowl even once the flame goes out. So the Gemara says, Hasam ka'ara duminaner. There in that Braisa that we're talking about, the bowl mentioned together with the lamp is reference to a bowl that is similar to lamp, that we're talking about a small bowl, and therefore Rabbi Shimon would say that it's mutter. However, halchakara demiyot dekos, here we're talking about a bowl that is similar to a cup, the larger bowl that is bigger, and therefore it's going to be mukta and it's going to be usser. So that's what we said before, b'shitas Rabbi Shimon, and therefore we answered that. Okay, so we talked about shitas, now we're going to go back and analyze shitas Rabbi Meir and shitas Rabbi Yehuda with regards to mukta machmas iser. So it's like, Amar Rabbi Zera. When you have, Rashi says, it's a metal candlestick, shalmatecha, so it's a metal candlestick, which a flame was lit for Shabbos, the divrei amatir, usur. According to the Shita, who said before that you're allowed to move a used lamp, the Hainu, that's Shita's Rabbi Meir, it's going to be, this case is going to be forbidden to move a metal candlestick. That's what Rabbi Shimon holds. Okay, so because he's assuming that it is Mukta Machmas Isser, and Rabbi Meir holds, therefore it's not allowed to be moved. So Rabbi Meir rejects the category of Mukta Machmas Mius, but he doesn't hold of the category Mukta Machmas Isser. Okay, L'divrei HaOser Mutter, however, according to the opinion of the one who forbids moving the lamp, Meaning, oh, I'm sorry, yeah, use lamp. That's Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. In this case, it's going to be permitted to move the metal candlestick. So when it comes to this situation, it's not considered Mukta Machmas Mius in this situation. So because it's metal. So therefore, they're not going to be Mukta Machmas Mius. So therefore, in the situation over here, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's going to say that it's Mutter because you never have a situation of he doesn't have Mukta Machmas Isra, apparently. He disagrees with the concept. Rashi points this out. He disagrees with the concept of Mukta Machmas Isra, therefore it's going to be Mutter. So the Gemara has a kasha lemeimer Rabbi Yehuda Mukta Machmas Mius Islay Mukta Machmas Isra Le Slay. So is that really true? You're assuming right now, you made the assumption now that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of the concept of Mukta Machmas Isra. He, according to you, Rabbi Zeir, you wanted to suggest that Rabbi Yehuda would allow you to move a candlestick, to move you to move the, use the lamp on Shabbos, if it wasn't a problem of smelling badly. So if it was metal, it would be mutter. So the Gemara says, Vatana, the Rebbe explicitly says not that way. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kol Aner Shema Techas Metaltelin. All metal lamps are allowed to be moved on Shabbos, Chutz Min Aner Sheliko Bo B'Shabbos, except for a lamp in which a flame had been lit for the Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda says that when you have the concept of Milsa Machmas Isser, so because you use it for Shabbos, it's going to be Usser. So how could it be? So the Gemara now says, Ela Itmar Achitmar, right? We have to amend Rabbi Yehuda, and we have to say, this is what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say. Amar Bizera Pamot Shedliko Ala B'Shabbos. When it comes to a metal candlestick, which a flame had been lit for Shabbos, Dibra Akol Usser. So everyone, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda agreed that it's going to be Usser to move it even after the flame goes out. Lo Edliko Ala Dibra Akol Mutter. But if the flame had not been lit upon Shabbos, then everyone agrees it's permitted to move it, even if it's generally used as a candlestick. So that would be the Chiddush. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir would agree. If it had been lit already, the beginning of Shabbos, it's going to be Mukta Machmas Isser, because both of them agree to that. However, they also agree that if it had not been lit, it's not going to be Mukta yet. Even Rabbi Yehuda generally holds a Mukta Machmas Mius. This is not Machmas Mius over here, so therefore it's going to be Mutta. So the Warna says another halacha, the name of Rav, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav, Mita Shiach Tal Maus, Asr L'Tatla. So if you have a bed that someone designated it for use of money, you're going to decide you're going to store all your money on your bed, hide under the pillow. Some people only cash. They keep it under the pillow. So you're going to keep everything on your bed. So then it's not allowed to be moved on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Meisivir of Nachman. If Nachman has the kasha, it says the metaltalin ner chadash aval layashan. One can move a new lamp, but not move an old one. So this implies that an old lamp that has actually been used is mukta, but a lamp that has never been used is not mukta, even though you designated it. That's where we're making the diuk over here. So Rashi says the diuk is lo yashan velo ketani avalo hamiyuchad lekach. It doesn't. If Rav was right, it should have said any ner that's miyuchad to be a ner is aser. Not any ner that's chadash versus yashan. That's not the right gender. If it's chadash yashan, that implies that even if you designate it, it's not aser until you actually physically use it against the shita of Rav of year. So the Gemara answers. And then the Gemara continues first. The Kashan, the Gemara says, "Ma ner de lahachia videi." If with regards to the lamp over here, which was made for the purpose of being used for lighting, ki lo edlik basharlet tutule. So if a person isn't lighting it, then it's going to be mutter to use it. That's what we get the deal from the Mishnah. Mita de lahachia videi, the bed which is not made for the purpose of storing money, but was generally just merely designated verbally, lo kol shekein. Then it's obviously going to be mutter. So how could Rav say that this is usher? So therefore, the Gemara has to amend Rav, and the Gemara says, "You're right." Ela itmar achmeter. If Rav says something, this is what he meant to say. Amar v'damar Rav mita shiach lemos. If someone had a bed and someone designated to use for money, then here's the following gedarim. Hinei achal yamos asr l'tatla. If he actually placed money on it, then it's going to be asr because there's mukta. Lo hinei achal yamos mutta l'tatla. However, if you didn't place money on it yet, it's going to be permitted to move it on Shabbos. The fact that you designated is not going to make it mukta. Only if one followed the designation by actually using it for a purpose, then, meaning the money, then it would make it mukta. So that's what Rashi says. Lo yichta lamaus, if you didn't designate it verbally for money, yeshalei amaus, asr l'tatla, then it depends. If there's money on it, then it's going to be asr. In lamaus, mutta l'tatla, ever. If there's no money lying on the bed, it's going to be permitted to move it even if money was once there, you left it at one point and you took it off, so it's not designated for money, it's not considered a mukta item. But then that would only be if there's no money during Bein HaShemashos, because we pointed out if it would have money during Bein HaShemashos, then you'd have the problem of Migo Dizkotel. The Bein HaShemashos is also the Kuleyoma, that since it's Usher from the beginning of Shabbos, it's going to be Usher the rest of the day. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to continue by asking a Kasha on Rav. Says the Gemara, Amar Ula, Ula is a Kasha on Rav, from the following Mishnah, Mesiv Rebbe either Elazar or Eliezer, that they had a question based on the following Mishnah, Muchnishala. When it comes to the wheel of a wagon, we're dealing with Isman Shnishmetas in Chiburla. So we're discussing a wheel over here. It's important to note that when you have the wagon in the old times, they used to have the compartments on the top where objects are kept, and then they had the wheel system underneath, which had, right, the axles and the gears that support the wagon. So now, when it comes to the wheel, we're talking about Tumah V'Tahara B'Zman Shnishmetas, when it's a removable wheel in Chiburla, it's not considered attached to the wagon. That's what the Mishnah is ruling with regards to Tumah and Tahara, and if the wagon got Tameh, it's not necessarily going to affect the wheel. V'ein in Dedesima, and we also don't measure it together with the top part of the wagon to determine its volume. Why would its volume matter? Because there's halacha that if even a wooden utensil, if it is big enough and it's not something that can be transported, it's considered something that stays where it is, and it's big enough, then it's going to be the volume of 40 sah. Then it's going to be considered something that is not a metalplin, it's going to be mechubar, and therefore it's not going to become tummy. So the chiddush over here is that it's not measured with it to get to the level of 40 sah. And it also doesn't combine with the wagon to protect someone from becoming tame when he passes over a dead body. Like normally if a person or a kli passes over a dead body or a grave, it's going to become tame unless there is an oel, there's a barrier that's going to be in between them. So if the wagon was large enough to be a barrier, an oel, then it's going to become tame. However, if this wheel is removable, it's not considered part of it, and therefore it's not going to bring to that shear of being an oel. That was all to of a tar purpose, but this point is why we're asking the Kashin Rav, Ve'en gorinosa b'shabbos b'zman sheish le'ev mos. You're not allowed to drag it on Shabbos when there is money in it. However, so the Gemara has a diuk now from this Mishnah. In aleihem mos sharia. This implies if there's no money on the wheel, it's going to be mutter to drag it on Shabbos. Afagav da'avolav b'nashmashos. Even if there was money on it during b'nashmashos, that's the diuk over here. So that seems to imply not like Rav. We don't assume that if something has money on it b'nashmashos, if it's going to be usher the whole Shabbos, rather only the while there is money there. So the Gemara now answers for Rav. The Gemara says, "Ayi Rabbi Shimoni delay slay mukta." So the Gemara answers, no, that Mishnah was following Shitas Rabbi Shimon, and he doesn't agree to the concept of mukta with regards to the wheel having money on it. He doesn't agree with the principle of Mido diskasai ben Hashmas, it's kasei lekuli yoma. He doesn't assume that if there was money on it during the outset of Shabbos, it's going to be us the rest of Shabbos. So only while there's money in it does Rabbi Shimon agree that it's going to be mukta. However, once the money is taken out, like we've seen with the candles, when the candles blow out, it's no longer going to be us, or it's no longer going to be mukta, according to Rabbi Shimon, and that's the sheet over there. However, Rav, and Rav is holding like Rav Rabbi Yehuda Sfirle, that's what we're saying now. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that Mido diskasai in the beginning of Shabbat, it's going to be usher for the rest of the day as well. That's what the Gemara assumes. And now the Gemara brings the support for that. The Gemara says, "Halchanami mistabra." This actually seems reasonable to make this conclusion. De'amar Rav, manicha ner al gabe dekel b'Shabbos. Rav says that a person is allowed to put a burning lamp on top of a tree on Shabbos. Ve'in manicha ner al gabe dekel b'Yom Tov. However, someone is not allowed to do that on Yom Tov. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov? So there's a general prohibition. A tree is considered mukta. One is not allowed to climb a tree on Shabbos. There's a rabbanan. The Gemara Beitza talks about it. Why? Because we're afraid someone is going to tear off a branch. And tearing off a branch is going to be the melacha of kotzer, and that is an issur d'oraisa. So Rav is teaching us over here that when it comes to Shabbos, we're not afraid that someone is going to go climb the tree, because once you lit the fire, it's going to be mukta the rest of Shabbos, and there's no use for you to have that lamp the rest of Shabbos. So because we mukta, you're not allowed to move it. However, on Yontif, when fire and lamps are not mukta at all, so then it could be that you'll go back and you'll take it, and that's an Isidore Abundant, and afraid that you're going to climb the tree. That itself was usher, so therefore Rav has to say, you're not allowed to light the fire, the lamp, on top of a tree on Yontif. He wasn't, I guess, safety concerns. I don't think that would be the best idea to light a fire right next to a tree. But either way, that's logically over here. That's the problem. The Gemara says, "Yamrat Bishlam and Rav Kibbutz Relay." Now I understand if Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, then Hainu Deshana Ben Shabbos Yontif. I understand the chiluk between Shabbos and Yontif. Like we just said, that on Shabbos it's going to become mukta because it was mukta the outset of Shabbos. It's going to be mukta the rest of Shabbos. And however, Yontif, we are afraid you will climb a tree because it wasn't mukta. The lamp never became mukta. But if Rav holds like Rabbi Shimon, then Rashi says he would be makil in both situations. It would be mutter. So therefore, we see that Rav holds like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. So Gemara now asks over Rav Kareb Yehuda Srila, does Rav really hold like Shitas Rav Yehuda? V'hal bo minei de Rav? They ask the question of Mala Tetule Shraga de Kanuka Bekabe Chabare B'Shabasa. What's going to be the halacha with respect to moving the Hanukkah candles, the Hanukkah menorah, from the place where the Chabarim, these people who lived in Babel, they were people who lived in Babel at the time, with the Persians also. Rashi says over there, they were not nice people. They did a lot of xeras. So here, they forbid people from lighting the candle. So you're afraid to leave it there. Rashi says two reasons. One, maybe that's because they're evil people. The second reason, maybe, is because it was happened to be the time when they used to have a chag for them. Chag for the Havdil, chag for the Goyim. And they said you can only light the candles in a Beis Avodah Zarah. Anywhere else is illegal. So you're violating the rules. So you're going to get a fine. So the Gemara says, "V'amrelu shapir dami." Rav said it's mutter to do so. So this is the point we're bringing. The Rav seems to hold that the you lit the menorah on Erev Shabbos. It went into Shabbos being muktzah. If you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, so something that become muktzah in the beginning of Shabbos is going to be muktzah the rest of Shabbos as well. So the Gemara answers, no, that was different. Shasar chak shani. That situation was a case of shasar chak. It was a pressing situation. It was an emergency situation. So therefore, we're going to be mekel. Da'amrelu the Rav Kana, Rav Ashi, the Rav. They said Rav Kana, Rav. When is it mutter to do this? Hachi Yilchasa, is this really the halacha? We follow that you're allowed to move the lamp with the muktzah, like against Rabbi Yehuda, like Rabbi Shimon. And they said, Amalu, Kedai Rabbi Shimon, Lismach Lab Shasad Chak. We're going to follow the shita of Rabbi Shimon. Many times when we don't have a shita that we paskin like, when it's a situation of a great pressing matter, we will be making like that shita. This year, there are a lot of kulas that people had because we were in a pressing Shasad Chak, that this is this concept. When it's a Shasad Chak, a person is allowed to be making. Just noteworthy to point out, there wasn't actual Sakanas Nefashas. Sakanas Nefashas, everything. And you don't even have to do the Chanukah candles. But here we're talking about some sort of fine. It must be, Ritva points this out. Some sort of fine or something else that wouldn't have been a sakana, mamish, it would have been something, but though it's still considered shasad chak for the fine or whatever it might be, so therefore they're going to be mekel. But they would still be allowed to light the Chanukah candles because it wasn't bikuach nefesh. Okay? Ad kan for today.